Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I am Amy Ravel.
And I'm Kirsty Freejam.
Awkward silence in there. And we are your hosts of the Art of Decluttering podcast. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us. We are excited about today's episode. I'm hoping that I walk away with a few tips, Kirst, when it comes to outsourcing to kids and enabling kids to get on board the family management train. So, I'm hoping you have some tips I haven't thought of, and I'm sure I'll have some I can share as well with our listeners.
Yeah. So we thought that this episode releasing this episode now is great timing, because here in Australia, we're on school holidays. Doesn't mean that you are on holidays, dear listener, but you may be, and you might have a little bit more space in your days and in your weeks. And the kids might be getting bored, so they might actually be open to the idea of learning how to do some more things around the house. So we thought we might as well take this opportunity to talk about how we can outsource some things to our children so that we are raising productive and useful adults when they get there, and also taking some of the mental load off our plates so that we can all be more present when we need to be.
And to those of you who do not have children, or you don't have children at home anymore, we apologise that this episode is very family, parent, child oriented, but we do feel like it's a really important area to go into, and we hope that there's going to be some goodness in here for you. If not, you can just have a listen to us and just hang out with us and hear how we recruit child labour in our homes.
Or not recruit child labour in our homes.
Kirst, how do you guys go with, so can you, let's remind everyone of the ages of our children and then talk to us about what they take responsibility for in the home, if anything.
Yeah, so as of this moment, my children are 11 and a half and 9 and a half. How about you?
Well, let's go through your family first. I want to know, what chores are the kids? Do they do chores? How does it all work in your family?
It's always evolving and always changing. We give our kids pocket money and they have to do chores, but they're not set in stone, and they're not even set down in writing. And we just say to them, here's what you need to do on a daily basis. So at the moment, with Simon being home quite a bit, he'll set the kids tasks in the morning and just say, okay, these need to be done. The kids put all their own clothes away. So here's the task that they do. They water the garden. They put the recycling out in the recycling bin. They empty the compost bin. They have to put their own clothes away. So not a lot of chores, really. And yes, there are still some whinging and some arcing up about, but I... Oh, and they unload the dishwasher every now and again.
Yeah.
And
how have you decided who does what? So if Simon writes a list, is it a collective list? These are all the things that need doing and pick what you want to do, or how does it work?
No, there's no real list given.
Okay.
He just tells them what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're still a work in progress in this area, and I think it's our home runs a little differently to how it would if I was a sole parent. But I'm very thankful that I'm not. But Simon loves things done in particular ways, in case you didn't know that or listeners. And so has a little bit of an issue letting go of some of his responsibility.
Yeah.
So much so that even Emily cracked it last night because Simon was getting grumpy about how tired he was and gave her a list of the reasons why he was tired. And she just turned around to me and said, but he never asked us to do any of that. And you could help him with all of that. So if he just asked all of us to help, he wouldn't be so tired.
That's very insightful, Amy.
Yeah. And I
probably not appreciated by Simon at the time, but
she didn't say it to him.
Okay.
She knows better.
Yeah.
when he's tired and in that mood.
But inside.
Yes. So it's, I know, I'm sorry, all you listeners who hate me right now that I say this, but he's a wonderful husband and he also loves serving our children. Like he really does love, like he loves making them breakfast and lunch and dinner.
That's so weird.
I know, right?
Yeah, he enjoys making someone else breakfast.
Yeah, he loves it, and he really sees it as an act of love towards the kids. So, whereas I don't at their ages, and I really do expect them to be able to make their own breakfast and their own lunch, particularly at the moment when they're on holidays, and make wise choices when it comes to morning tea and afternoon tea. Like I should not need to come out and tell them what they should and shouldn't eat. They are old enough to know. So yes, if it was entirely up to me, my children would be doing a whole lot more chores. But
you've got high standards in your house. So that's where the problem is. The standard's too high. Come to the Ravel house where the standard's so low, a three-year-old would be fine.
Yeah. And also because Simon does do so much, I'm not the one who's got that big mental load.
Yes.
All these things that I need to do. And hence Emily's comment to me about her dad last night was like, well, basically saying he could have a whole lot less mental load if he offloaded it all to us, couldn't he, Mum? And yes.
Gosh, I'm loving on her right now.
I know, she's pretty cute and she's pretty spot on with her observations, but we'll see. We'll see where this year lands us as far as outsourcing to our children.
is there pocket money based on the chores? Like if they say, I don't want to unstack the dishwasher, does that affect their pocket money, or is that just, that's just part of being in the family and the chores are also part of being in the family?
Oh, we're so haphazard. No, I'm not, because I don't dish any of that out in any form. Like I don't tell them what to do or give them the pocket money.
Okay.
But the person who is responsible for that is very haphazard in what he chooses to do. So there's no hard or fast rules here in the Verugia house where chores and pocket money is concerned.
Not surprisingly, I love a good hard, fast rule.
Really? And I hadn't noticed that in 4 years.
How it works in our family is slightly different.
Yeah, go for it. Tell us, because yours is probably how I would like to in my ideal world. If I was in total control, yours is probably more likely to be in line with me.
More regimented and army-like.
And what I tell my clients all the time as well.
Yes, yes. Well, my boys are 12 and a half and 14 and a half, and they are both very capable. So there's nothing physically, emotionally, intellectually stopping them from being able to do things. So I just put that out there because I know that many of my clients are like, yes, absolutely. I love that you say your 14-year-old can do this. My 14-year-old will have a panic attack if I ask them to do that. So, it's different for every age. But I'm going to tell you what we do, and it's not prescriptive, but it is what we do. So we do as little as possible for our children, and we have set the bars really, really low. So just to give you an idea of the things that they do, so let's talk pocket money first, because that's part of it too, is they get the same amount of money every week and it gets direct deposited into their bank account. So there's no cash handling in our family. And the way that we do it is you get $1 for every year. So $14 a week goes to Jesse and $12 a week goes to Elijah. Now that's not to spend. So we do not, I'm just too lazy. So much of this is going to be based on my level of laziness. And we are too lazy to have set up savings accounts for our children when they were little. And there's no, like, when you go to uni, here's an account that mummy and daddy set up and put $50 a month into. There is none of that. There's the one account that gets their weekly pocket money put in. So that goes in automatically. And one of the values in our family is to be a generous family. So a percentage of the money that they get automatically gets taken out once a month and they choose where to give it to. So they give to a not-for-profit or someone in need or whatever that would be. So that kind of all just happens. And the minimum savings that we expect of both of them is $5 a week. So they can, if they want, withdraw or use the balance of that, but minimum $5 a week has to be saved. So in that, they both have responsibilities around the house. And for us, the key was not giving them token responsibilities so that we felt like they were helping, like, you know, one of your chores is to put your shoes away when you get home from school. That I was not interested in that. I was much more interested in, I want to teach you how to do all the washing. So Jesse does all the washing in our house, all the clothes, all the sheets, all the towels. He does all the washing. And so he's responsible for keeping on top of that. So he puts the load in, puts the load on. One of us tends to hang the washing out. That is one area, Kirst, where I'm pretty fanatical about it being hung right, because I hate things being hung wrong and then they're all creased and they haven't dried properly. Someone's hung undies from the crotch. I'm like, why? Yep. Why? It's the thickest part of the undies.
I know. Just don't. In my house, who doesn't follow said rules either?
Yeah. So Cal and I, we take responsibility for the hanging out. But in terms of washing, Jesse then brings it in. Elijah sorts the washing into four washing baskets. So each of us have a washing basket and then we all just put our own away. So one of the things I love is that pretty much the entire washing cycle, if it's in winter and we're drying things in the dryer, they're also responsible for that. It's just the hanging out. I don't let go of. and I love...
Why don't you teach them how to do it properly?
I could. They're tall enough now. It was when they started doing it, they were too short.
Yes, yes.
But they're totally tall enough. Jesse's as tall as me. So maybe come next birthday, that'll be the new chore that I add. So what that's meant in terms of handing over the washing is that I've also lowered the standard. So no more do I expect colours and whites to be separated. I don't care. Just chuck it all in together. And if our whites aren't pure white, I also don't care. So for us, we've kind of picked hills that we're going to die on, and separating out the washing is not one of those.
Yeah, perfect.
And we don't fold anything in our house. So that has also enabled that the children could put their clothes away really from kind of 2-3 years old because they didn't have to fold. So I'm happy that if your pajamas are in the pajama drawer, gold. I don't care that they're not folded because nobody cares that your pajamas don't come out of the drawer folded. Nobody cares. So I think sometimes, and this is exactly what you've articulated when it comes to the lack of handing over things in your house, part of the reason we have been able to is we've been prepared to lower the standards. And admittedly, that's an area we could probably grow in, because as they get older, they're completely capable. Our kids do all the putting away of the dishes. So Cal washes all the dishes and puts the dishwasher on. And in the morning, they're responsible. One of them does the dishwasher, one of them does the dish rack. And again, it's an area that we've compromised in. I don't care that all the Tupperware is not matched and piled up exactly how I would do it, because somebody else is doing it. And I'm just grateful for that. And then they do things like water in the garden. They empty all the bins in the house, put the bins out, bring the bins in. What else do they do, Kirst? They do so many things. I can't even think. If there's something that needs to be done, my children do it. They do just so much around the house. One of the things that I've been thinking about recently in preparation for this episode is the difference between outsourcing the job and outsourcing the mental load.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a big work in progress for our family, because I still feel like I often have to say, hey, Lige, can you sort that washing, please? So I'm still holding the mental load for it. So I'm managing them. They're doing a job. What I would much prefer is they are division leaders and they manage a silo of that. And they're like, my job is to make sure there's never more than one load of dirty washing in the dirty washing basket. Instead of me saying, hey, mate, I'm running out of undies. Can you please do a load of washing?
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on that. What are some tips on how I can get there?
I question when it is that you need to get there. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, obviously this is your home and you get to run it however you want. I just, we want to send our children out into the world capable.
Yeah.
But also we want them to be able to be kids as well.
Yeah.
So, and not have that. So for me personally, I'm all like, I think I'll probably hold the mental load until, let's be honest here, Simon will hold the mental load forever. But I'm okay with the managing for me, just because I want them to enjoy being kids and not having that. They've got 80 years of being responsible.
See, I quite like the idea of, particularly once they reach employment age, like Jesse,
in the next couple of months, we'll
reach the age where he could go and get a job in a retail shop. So I want him to learn the skill of holding something in your brain without it becoming overwhelming, but kind of, okay, I've got to think about the fact that it's been a week and the bathroom towels haven't been washed, rather than me having to remind him. I would love for him to be able to think, oh yeah, that's just what I do, without it being burdensome. I totally agree with you. Like, I don't expect my kids to be my slaves or my housekeepers. Absolutely do not.
No, but I didn't hear that.
I also do expect that they're happy to grow and learn, because it's not just about knowing how to put a load of washing on, is it? And it's not just about unstacking the dishwasher. It's also about, well, how do you run a household and what things are needed and how do you not be stressed by it? How do you not wake up in the morning and go, I have no socks? Because that's a stressful experience, which is completely avoidable. So how do you teach them to kind of think, okay, mate, well, think about the fact that you do only have 5 pairs of shorts. And if you only wash on a Sunday and a Friday, at some point you're going to run out. So is there a way in your mind you can think, actually, if I wash on a Sunday and a Wednesday and a Friday and a Saturday, I'm actually never going to have that stressful moment that makes me anxious, and you can keep on top of it. I'm just kind of thinking, I really like equipping them with that from, I don't know, I just like it. I'm not even sure why.
I appreciate it and I like it. I just wonder, and that's where I just go, oh, I don't know. I think maybe my kids are too young at the moment for me to, I don't want to expect that of them.
Yeah.
And as I said, they've got 80 years of responsibility ahead of them, hopefully, you know, hopefully by the time they're 18, I want them to be thinking like that. But also I don't, Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I think really. I want to teach them to be thinking like that.
Yeah.
Without necessarily being like, all right, well, now I'm never going to remind you ever again.
And I it's not like I can get by without being reminded of the things that I need to do. Like I need Kel to sometimes say, oh, did you know that we need the groceries order placed? Like, even though that's my responsibility and I hold the mental load for that, sometimes I still need reminding. So I think it is a collaborative team effort. I think I'm just overly passionate about, in fact, someone today, where I had our church Christmas lunch and it was the most amazing lunch. Oh my gosh, like the meat cursed. As a reformed vegetarian, it was so good. But someone said to me, so Jessie was outside helping the toddlers. And so there was monkey bars at this lady's house. And so he was holding a three-year-old and helping them all in the monkey bars. And they just kept saying, oh my gosh, he's just amazing. He's such a beautiful 14-year-old. And one of them said, you can really see that you've taught him to take initiative. And I was like, yes, like I want them to learn those type of things more than I want them to learn the quantity of washing powder that you need to put in to get the load clean. That's the stuff that I so desperately want to teach them, is how to serve, how to take initiative, how to lead when it's appropriate to lead, how to think about other people, how to serve other people. Like I just love that stuff so much.
Yeah. And that so like, yeah. And that's awesome. And yeah. I can see that that's your heart.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be for everybody either.
No.
It totally doesn't. I grew up in a house where I didn't make my own lunch ever in the whole of my my schooling years, primary and high school. I never made dinner for my family once. I never ironed a thing. I never did the dishes.
I've actually been thinking this whole conversation where you've been talking about your family. I'm more like, I wonder if your passion is actually comes from your lack.
Well, no, we like had when lots you of.
Oh no, yeah, meaning like when you moved out of home at.
Oh home, right, yeah.
You were like, what the? And I wonder if that's like, yeah, yes, you had to do some things.
We had lots and lots of. My mum did so well. Five kids, pretty much all the housework was done.
Yeah,
but yeah. I really appreciate, and I didn't begrudge it. Actually, growing up, I learned to love the chores that I did. You know, hanging out the washing, still love hanging out the washing, cleaning the bathrooms, still find joy in cleaning the bathrooms. So I think that I really, really liked that. And we did have to carry the mental load for it. Mum did not remind us every day. So I think that there's that part that I'm like, I want my kids to learn that because it helps me.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it does have to do with our upbringing and our home that we grew up in. And
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
What was your home like, Kirst, when it comes to outsourcing to kids? Your mum and dad had five kids like ours. How did they do it?
We all had to do the dishes, but it was a lot like my home. It was very random.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you're on washing and the rest are on drying.
Yeah.
And suddenly my brothers would disappear to the toilet for half an hour and funnily come out after the dishes were all done.
I love that move.
But we didn't have to do a lot of chores. It was a lot more like my current home, where it was more haphazard. Like, Dad would crack it one day and we'd all not be able to do anything that we'd planned to do that day, because it was suddenly the day that we had to all clean up the house.
Yeah.
So it was very haphazard. I mean, we're not like that in our home. Like, we clean up, like, the kids have to clean up their bedrooms every day. The kids, like,
yeah, and so you're much more of a maintenance family than a splurge and bust family.
Yes, whereas my family home growing up was definitely that. And my mum, would have loved if we'd all helped in a bit more, but we didn't. So that's probably
one of the things, Kirst, that I'm thinking as you're talking is one of the downsides for us, where the kids have set chores and they do that chore kind of indefinitely, is that sometimes if something else pops up, we hear it, but that's not my job.
Yes.
And that kind of just peeves me. The other night, Cal had gone to bed super tired, and he usually washes the dishes before bed. And so I was like, oh, I'll wash the dishes. So I did a load. And then I said to Elijah, hey, could you do another load? Because there's a heap of plastics that your kids have used. And he's like, but that's not my job. I was like, I know, we're just doing it to serve Dad, but it's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've created a monster rod for my own back. But I think that's just the nature of kids too, I think. Sometimes kids are just lazy the same way we are.
Yeah. And yeah, no, we get that.
Okay.
That's not my job. That's Oliver's job.
Yeah.
No, can you just do it, please? Yeah. Oh, that's not my job. It's Emily's job. Yeah. And so, I mean, I do like that. I do like teaching our children to serve and to be helpful. I think one of the things around that I'm learning at the moment with the Enneagram is if you have a type 2 in the house, it's very easy to, if Jesse was a type 2 and Elijah was not, and you said to Elijah,
can you just stop there and explain what a type 2 is for people that don't know the Enneagram?
Yeah, so the type 2 is the helpful person.
They're easy to take advantage of.
They're easy to take advantage of, yes. And they love serving and they love being helpful. And that's their drive, is to be seen as being helpful.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody had it would be easy if Jesse was a type 2 for you to turn around and go, oh, okay, Elijah, I can't be bothered with this fight. I'll just ask Jesse to come and do it. And then Jesse gets his back up about always
being. That's not fair.
Yeah, because that's not fair. Or he just does it because that's in his nature to. Mm-hmm. He doesn't find it frustrating, as a mature adult, recognizing that those kids, we shouldn't be leaning on those kids because they're easy and compliant and they'll do what we ask them to do with no getting their back up like the other children.
Pretty sure we don't have a number 2 in our house then at all.
No, but I'm just putting it out there because some families will have a number 2.
Yes, and they know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, and so just to be discerning in our parenting, to not be always relying on that child. I don't think Oliver is necessarily the help, like that's not his number on the Enneagram, but he's a lot more easygoing. Mm. So if Emily arcs up about something, it is easier for him to, he'll often just pitch in and go, don't worry, Mum, I'll just do it.
Yeah. Sweet boy.
Yeah, I mean, he's tweening at the moment, so I'm sure that will change as we head into the teen years. But yeah, so okay, now we've spoken about our families. What are some of our tips? Because we've worked with loads of families who we've seen that the mum or the dad i.e. Faruja family, hold a lot of the mental load. Yep. And when you see them having teenage kids and even primary school kids who aren't doing a single thing in their home to help their parents. So what would be some of the things that we would definitely recommend? You know, you don't have to do things like the Faruja house and you don't have to do things like the Ravel house, but we do. This whole episode was based on the families that we see often who the kids aren't doing a single thing to help in their homes.
My biggest advice, if I could just give like one takeaway, it would be start. So I'm rephrasing. There's two takeaways. The first one is the best time to start is when they're really little, and the second best time to start is today. So if you haven't started, today's great. Start today. And if your kid's a little, also start today. It's never too late. So that's the caveat to when is an appropriate time, now or yesterday. What I think the best way to start with is start kids on something where they get a clear benefit. So making their lunch. If they choose to not do it, they're not going to have lunch. And so I think there's ways that you can do it so that you pick something where they clearly have something to win. And so you might say to them also, hey, if you make, we're going to change it. From now on, mum doesn't make your lunch, dad doesn't make your lunch, you make your lunch. And if you make your lunch every day of the week, you get a $2 to spend at the tuck shop, or you can get a lunch order, or we're going to put a Freddo frog in your lunchbox. Like, give them some kind of incentive. And also don't be too controlling, because I think if it's like, well, you can make your lunch, but it has to be this, 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 and this, and they've got no control over it, they're going to resent it pretty quickly. So I think find something that they benefit from. If you want it to be that they're in charge of stripping their beds and changing the sheet, you strip the bed and wash the sheets and then just put the sheets back on the bed, because it benefits them to put them back on before they go to sleep. You might do it where, you know, they need to clear the table at night after dinner and dessert's not available until the table's clear. I think it's really, 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 really helpful to start with those things where they see that quick benefit, and it impacts on them, rather than can you do the dusting, and they're like, well, this is pointless and why do I have to do this and it doesn't make any difference to life and nobody cares, mum, if the house isn't dusted. But when it comes to their lunches, actually they care. When it comes to dessert, they care. When it comes to sleeping in a comfortable bed, they care. So that is my numero uno advice. What about you, Kirst?
I think one of the things that I've seen recently with families is laundry. It's really easy to outsource the putting away of laundry to your children.
Mm.
They, particularly when they're over the ages of three and they know where everything lives in their drawers. And it might take lowering your standards, like Amy spoke about earlier. It may take training them. You know, if you don't want to, you know, if you're very particular about how it's folded, train your children on how to fold it like you, and just keep knowing that, it takes an investment of your time. We've got a brilliant, brilliant podcast that some of you may have skipped over because you don't feel it's relevant to you, and it's called Homeschooling.
And episode 73.
Thank you, Rain Man. it is brilliant to listen to, regardless of your views on homeschooling. If you're like me and can never imagine doing that, it's fine. Just listen to it. It has got the most brilliant wisdom in it around training your children how to do chores. So highly, highly, highly recommend listening to it. I think that one easy way, and what I think the laundry cycle, not necessarily getting
brilliant.
Do the laundry, but putting away their own clothes, it's teaching them a great skill, and it will save you time in your day. And I think also just around taking the opportunity of the school holidays to just sit and teach them a skill. So if it's like Amy and teaching your children how to take charge of all the laundry, do that. Or if you decide you know, your kids are big enough to be cooking a meal, one meal a week, then teach them how to cook that one meal. Maybe you start teaching them how to cook spaghetti this school holidays, or maybe one learns to do spaghetti and the other one learns how to make taco sauce. So, you know, whatever. I think that there's so many jobs that you do around the home that, yes, they may do it slower, they may not do it as well as you, but if everybody pitches in, then the house is so much easier to keep clean and keep tidy. And maybe one of the things that you might want to work on this school holidays or this season is just to get your kids to put things back in their homes. And actually, maybe it's just to see that there's things. Like, maybe they're clutter blind. That's a real thing. It's not something that we've made up. It's particularly related to ADHD. If your children have got ADHD, or if you as an adult have ADHD, or your partner has ADHD, clutter blindness is a real thing. And then it's also a learned thing.
Yeah, and it can be unlearned, and tools to help you manage it.
Yes. And so maybe it's, I know in our house, how we've taught our kids to do it is to teach them not to step over anything. If you need to step over something, it needs to be picked up.
Yeah, it's out of place.
Yeah. So noticing when things are out of place is, and just teaching your kids, and maybe it's about teaching yourself too, is to not walk out of a room without seeing if there's something that needs to belongs in another room, see it and pick it up and take it to that room, particularly if it's in the direction that you're going. So, you know, if there's something in my kitchen and I'm going to my bathroom, then I look around to see if there's something in there that I need to take to my bedroom, because it's, I have to walk through my bedroom, so I may as well take something that belongs there. So I think that was a very long answer. I know I said laundry, but I also think tidying up. And that will save you hours of your time, potentially, is if they're tidying up and you don't have to do the big tidy before the cleaners come that this week.
I really love the laundry one, Kirst, because that's a blockage that we see in so many homes. Mm-hmm. Laundry's clean, but it's sitting in baskets piled up around the house, getting dirty again. Maybe the cat's sitting on it, or it's getting dusty, or someone's wiped their dirty sticky fingers on it, or something like that.
And well, they've seen it as a laundry basket and they've chucked their dirty clothes on top of their clean clothes.
I can't even tell you how many homes
we see this in. Yeah. I reckon nearly every single client, the bottleneck is the laundry.
The bottleneck is putting the laundry away. It's not washing it often.
No, yeah.
It's actually putting it back away. And often the issue then is that there's not enough room in the cupboard because you've got too many clothes and you need to do a declutter, which... go and listen to some of our wardrobe episodes or join our wardrobe declutter challenge, which is free and you can find it on our website. But I think if you can identify one of the biggest bottlenecks to you feeling like your home is running smoothly and engage your children in that process, gold. Take nothing away from our podcast for 2021 and just nail that and it's all good. Yes, I've got a podcast review that I thought was apt given what you just shared about ADHD. And this episode is from MKB's Daughter and was left on Apple Podcasts in the US. And it's a 5-star review titled ADHD Teacher, Wife, Mum and Matriarch. And she says, wow, I have found many different ways to describe my brain by listening to your podcast. I struggle and struggle and struggle and still can't get past my piles or ever totally get organized. I've been diagnosed with adult ADHD for the past 20 years and I take medication. I also became our family matriarch when I was only in my 20s. That being said, my home is an accumulation of family history. I also know for me, if something is out of sight, it's also out of mind. I'm going to bookmark this podcast and listen to it often. I'm going to share it with my colleagues and my friends. I'm in the US, so I hope I'm able to find the books and resources you suggest. I also subscribe to your podcast so that I can continue to flood my brain with tips and tricks. I love your open, light atmosphere. I smile as I listen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So, wow, thank you.
I love you guys leaving reviews. Like, seriously, it makes such a difference to us.
Yeah, we love reading them and we love that other people find us because you've left a review. So just go to the whatever podcast app you're listening in. You should be able to find a review button. And if you can't, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review there, or come over to our Facebook page and drop in there and say hello and tell us why you love listening to the podcast. And Amy, have we got a...
Yes.
You tell me. You know what I'm talking about.
So this week, it is your turn to leave a review for our podcast. If right now you are wearing a watch on your left hand, you are wearing a watch on your left hand, today is the day for you to leave a review for our podcast. What we found is when we just said, hey, everybody, leave a review, we might get a couple of reviews a month. But since we've moved to helping you remove the boundary of, oh, I don't know if I can be bothered, we're just giving you a really specific thing. And if that applies to you, that's your week to leave a review. And if it applies to you this week, and then it applies to you in 4 weeks' time, you can leave a second review. So if you wear your watch on your left hand, stop right now, open up Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, or leave it on our Facebook page. And we appreciate you, left-hand watch wearers. Actually, we appreciate all of you. And we will be back next week. We can't wait to be in your ears. If you've got time this week and you want to scroll back through our back catalogue, there's some really great episodes on kids. As we said, the kids training episode. Go and listen to that one.
Have a great week, peeps. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app, or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.